our longed-for home. You know what it is, don't you? It's heaven. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." I read a poem one time, although the memory is only partial. Is there no resting place from sorrow, sin, and death? Isn't there no happy spot where mortals may be blessed? Yes, in heaven. Yes, there is a place of peace and rest. Praise God, there is a place where tears and troubles are forgotten, and that's in heaven. There's a great song. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. And we're going to sing that right at the end. The Lord Jesus tells us a great deal about heaven, although he does use different names. In my Father's house are many mansions. There are two. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's a real picture of home. Heaven's home. That's a real picture of rest, heaven's rest. When the Lord Jesus was dying on the cross, I'm sure you have a picture of this in your mind, the Lord Jesus dying for you on the cross, and on each side was a criminal, and the Lord Jesus was shedding his blood for your redemption, you know that. And these two criminals, two men, they died alongside him. One hated him and cursed him. The other one cried out to him. The praying one, not the cursing one, the praying one said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And the Lord Jesus answered him, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." Paradise, that's a good name, isn't it? That's another name for heaven, or it was the equivalent of heaven in those days until Jesus ascended. But it's the equivalent of heaven. Beautiful name, paradise. That would be a nice home, wouldn't it? That would be a good rest. When Jesus told the story of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man was in hell. And he lifted up his eyes and saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. That was really the same place. That was paradise. That's what they called it. And it showed that after death, Lazarus was in a heart-to-heart relationship with Abraham, because it said that he saw him in Abraham's bosom. That was another name for paradise. Abraham was the father of the nation. He was the pioneer of faith. He'd passed on centuries before. And we have that expression, bosom pals. So Lazarus looked up and he saw the sinner in hell looked up and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. That's what it means. It means a very close and very happy relationship. They knew that Abraham was safe in paradise, therefore Lazarus is also safe in paradise. So those were three ways in which the Lord Jesus taught about heaven using different names. But he taught much more often about heaven. Much and often. It records in the narrative, he looked up towards heaven a few times. I'm sure you've read it. He told us about angels in heaven. He told us about the Father's will being done in heaven. He told us that there's joy in heaven. He told us that we receive spiritual bread in heaven, that we may have treasure in heaven, that we may have rewards in heaven. He told us that authority is from heaven. He told us about the names of those who trust him and that they're written down in heaven. Hey, there's a roll book up in heaven. Is your name in it? You'll know if it is. I want to help you to know that your name is written in heaven's roll book. And the Lord Jesus told us that if we confess him here on earth, he will confess us in heaven. Hey, that's fair enough, isn't it? Fair enough. Yes, he taught us much about heaven. He taught us all we need to know about heaven. He even taught us how to get there. Hey, that's important, isn't it? Well, that's the most important thing, how to get there. So we take 7 points. Number one, the reality of heaven. It's not just some sentimental thing. It's not just a figment of the human imagination. Praise God, we're talking about something that is real. Heaven is real as our existence here on this earth. Jesus said, I say unto you, that's authority. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that's reality, carries a note of certainty. Jesus said, I say. That's the voice of authority. Why am I so sure tonight? Why am I so certain that my loved ones who died trusting in the Lord Jesus are now in heaven? Why am I so confident that one day we'll meet them in our home up there? Because the Lord Jesus himself taught us to believe these things, and he should know. You see, we have the authority of Christ. This is marvelous authority. He should be able to get us there. He's the one who stilled the storm. He said, peace, be still. And he stilled the storm. That's authority. He's the one who healed the sick and the dying. He's the one who raised the dead. He stopped the funeral of that boy and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he did. Hey, that's authority. That's power. And so the Lord Jesus ought to be able to tell us the way to heaven. He knows. He must. He had power. He must have the authority that goes with it. So we have that authority from Jesus Christ. That's the word of my Saviour. His word is good in time. His word is good in sorrow. His word is good when you're dying. It's good for all eternity. You do well to believe the blessed word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, he said. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also in heaven. Yes, the word of Jesus has also been confirmed by human experience. When the people of God are promoted to glory, instead of sorrow at the bedside, there's so much joy. Joy. Now, I've been at several deathbeds. I've lost count. And I've seen the reality of heaven in the faces of the believers who are about to go. You can tell. Before they slip into unconsciousness. What are these cases? Well, they're all different. I'm thinking just now about a dear lady called Mrs. Elsie Brooks. She was 90. 90. All trim and neat, and she was dressed beautifully in her deathbed, gracefully dying there in the village of Dunoon near Lismore, passing gloriously into the realms above. And then, by contrast, there was Diane Hunt, 20 years of age. She graciously left us to go to heaven. That was when we were serving the Lord in Wollongong. See, age, there's no difference. Same pathway, same place to heaven. We're going to see them in that land that is fairer than they. One day we're going to rejoice them in the wonder of the redemption story. Wonderful. And the same thing has been confirmed again and again in the dying believers. Books have been written. Wonderful books have been written. In fact, on my bookshelf, well, actually it's in a carton, The Final Hours of Some Godly Women. That's a good book. If you can get it, read it. And many of those people, when they're dying, have called out, Jesus, 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 as though they've seen him coming for them. These are accounts of people on the way to heaven. Yes. And it was as though the doors of heaven had already swung open to receive them. Yes, heaven is a reality. Jesus taught it. Experience confirms it. And the hope of the people of God anticipates it. Sometimes when we pray, we're virtually in heaven. Sometimes in fellowship, we're on the threshold. So that was the reality of heaven. Now, number two, the road to heaven. John, in John's Gospel, where I read chapter 14, in verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus said, I am the door. That's in John chapter 10. There is but one way. It's the way of the cross, the way through faith in Christ and his death for sinners on the cross, plus the resurrection. But as you listen here tonight, I need to tell you that the road to heaven is impossible. Hey, that's a contrast with what I've been saying, isn't it? It's impossible. Why? Well, for several reasons. First, because of sin. Our sins would take us down, down, down to hell. That's where our sins would take us, down. But the grace of God is lifting us up, 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 up towards heaven. Because Jesus Christ has dealt with our sins. By the shedding of his own most precious blood, this road seems to be impossible because of sin. But trust him. The second reason that makes the road to heaven impossible is because of Satan, the devil. He's your enemy because he's God's enemy. It seems an impossible road because of Satan. He attacks us as we set our faces heavenward. Do you remember when the devil attacked you as you moved towards the cross, as you moved towards Jesus Christ? He came with those false arguments. He came with false fears. He came with those blasphemies against God. He came with those old doubts, and he brought some new ones. Doubts. He was attacking you. He's your enemy. He's God's enemy. And those of you who came through for Christ and have served him since, you could number other times when he's come to you since you were saved. He's a terrible enemy. But praise God, we're still on the glory road, nearer to heaven than we've ever been before. And if God has brought us so far, praise God, he'll bring us to the end of the journey. He's the one who's brought us through all the temptations, given us all the victories, brought us through all those trials, all those troubles and all those afflictions. Praise God, he'll get us into his heavenly city. So remember, the road to heaven is impossible. First, because of sin. Second, because of Satan, the devil. Now third, the road to heaven, humanly speaking, is impossible because of ourselves. Who are we? We're just poor sinners. We have no merits of our own that we could claim as qualifications for entering to heaven. When I first came here a few years ago, there was an elderly member of the church. His name was Harold Ackling. He lived there in Market Street, just in that first block from Lancelot Street. A few times I went and had a chat with him as he did his gardening. He was pretty good on vegetables. He had a great sense of humour. He said, I've never had a headache in my life. You've got to have brains to have a headache. Yes. Anyway, I took at least one opportunity to check him on his salvation. I said, are you still trusting the Lord? He said, yep. I said, are you safe on the Rock of Ages? He said, that's right. That man had assurance. Well, we're only sinners. That's all we are. But praise God, we're going to make the journey by the grace of God. Do you know why? Because we're on the road that leads to the cross. There's a wonderful hymn. I must needs go on in the blood-sprinkled way. 'Tis the path that my Saviour trod. If I ever climb to the heights sublime where the soul is at home with God, the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go that the way of the cross leads home. Have you been to the cross? Have you followed the way of the cross? Are you on the road up, the narrow road, or you're on the wide road that leads to destruction? Which road are you on? Answer that question tonight, my unsaved friend. Okay, point number three, the royalty of heaven. Thank God for the royal majesty of our Father's house above. There are thrones up there. The Bible talks about thrones in heaven. What a majestic place. And if you care to turn up Revelation 21, I'll read it, but you can have a reference to it if you like. Revelation 21, I'd like to start from verse 2. Revelation 21, 2. And I, John, this is the Apostle John, who was given a look into heaven, special look. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. That's just a little portion of the description of what things await us. Now, you could have a beautiful palace, but if the king were not there, it would be worth nothing. But praise God, the king is in this city. My Saviour once was crowned with thorns when he was here on earth. That's how they treated him. But he's crowned with glory now. He wears a diadem. We're going to see Jesus. He will be in that city. He's there in heaven now. That's what makes it royal. Remember, he arose from the dead. He's ascended up to heaven. The royal ones up there live in royalty. The city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and so on. The street of the city was of pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Now here on earth, back 100 or so years, the spread of civilization was parallel to the search for gold. That's how civilization spread. They're after gold. The Spaniards invaded Mexico and South America, and I saw them in Western California, the Hispanics there too. Other seekers rushed to settle there in California. In 1851, in Australia, the discovery of gold was a big boost to colonisation. One big nugget weighed 2,520 ounces, which is about my weight. Am I worth my weight in gold? Probably not. But that's the size of a nugget, the record nugget. Can you imagine paving the streets of a city with gold? Well, the main street of glory is 1,400 miles long, paved with gold, and that's just for starters. What other beauties will engage our enraptured eyes in the treasure room of the palace? Best of all, unspeakable joy will thrill our souls when we fellowship there in unending bliss with the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you heading for that city of gold? There's royalty there. Number four, residents of heaven. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, we read, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Now, I love that word, many. 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 The same number is applied to heaven. Many believers in heaven. Many. Some have the idea that the believers in heaven are just a few bedraggled souls. Don't you believe it? God's people are the many, not just the majority, they're the many. That's more. Revelation 7, verse 9. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." Yeah, the residents of heaven. If you were to look around, you'd see all the patriarchs are there, the fathers of the nation of Israel. Abel, who believed in the blood of the Lamb, that's in Genesis chapter 4. Enoch, who walked with God. Noah, who outrode the greatest storm and flood ever known on earth. and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the sons of Israel. All the kings who believed, they'll be there. David, the man of God's own, after God's own heart. Understand from the scriptures that he has taken up the harp again. And he's singing a psalm that no one can learn except those who love the name of Jesus. Getting ready to learn that psalm? New one. And then all the prophets of the Old Testament will be there. Elijah is there. He's as much on fire now as he was on the top of Carmel when he confounded the prophets of Baal. Elisha, Amos, Jonah, all the rest of the prophets. What a great multitude. All the New Testament believers are there, right from Matthew to Revelation. They're all there. The Christians of the early church who were thrown to the lions by the Roman Empire, they're there. All the precious ones right down to the Reformation. All the saints of the revivals, under John Wesley and others. The saints of the 20th century and 21st century, our own dear ones with whom we parted at the hospital or on their deathbeds at home. They're all there in heaven, waiting for us, ready. Praise God, they're all there. My, what a place it is. And best of all, Jesus is there. There are people that I'll want to see when I arrive in heaven. Who would you like to meet first? You thinking about it? Well, first I would like to see the Lord Jesus Christ there in heaven. We'll all have eyes for him, won't we? And I think I've shared this before in some company. If I were to go tomorrow, I'd look for my mum. Some of you know, would have seen her. She stayed with us a couple of years in the last few years of her life. And she was in a wheelchair. And I used to bring her on Sunday morning, used to bring her across the road in the wheelchair. The men on the door would pick her up one each side, lift her into the vestibule and along, and they'd sit her right there in alongside the front row. Well, she loved it. To hear her son preach, and I'm pleased about that. Anyway, she was saved in her 70s. And then I'd look for my mother-in-law. She went home to heaven about, I think, 18 months after my mother. Not sure the exact time, but... And soon I would look for some of the folk who were elderly when I first met them. I mentioned Harold Ackney. And then, of course, there was Elder Gwilliam, Mrs. Ruby Gwilliam, and Ernie Burton, and Vernon Dorothy Irvine. I better stop. I don't want to leave anybody out. They're written down above. They're there. I'm sure that some of you want to meet the Apostle Paul, and then Peter and John. It would be good to meet Moses too, wouldn't it? And then Joseph, and perhaps Abraham, and Abraham who saw Christ afar off. He was the father of Israel. And you know, I think I'd like to sit down and have a good talk to Daniel. What a straight man, clear cut. Wonderful. Yes. It would be good to meet that criminal who was saved on the cross, wouldn't it? He died beside Jesus not long after being saved. It's interesting, he was saved, and then his Saviour died before him. Think about that. Interesting, very interesting. Say, Jesus saved that man from the second death. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What a beautiful moment, or moments of time they were. I trust that you've called out, Lord, save me. Have you? Has he saved you? Have you called upon him? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Romans 10:13. They're all residents of heaven now. Okay, number five, recognition in heaven. One Sunday, Dr. Paisley preached here. This was the first church he preached in Australia. And you remember, he had a great sense of humour. And there was a lady who, as she came out, and he was meeting the people out there, the usual place, and she said, Dr. Paisley, I don't think we'll know anybody in heaven. She was just teasing him. And Dr. Paisley, teasing her back, he said, Madam, do you think you'll be more ignorant in glory than you are here? It's quite a good retort, wasn't it? No, we'll recognise our loved ones in heaven. There's no doubt that you and I will know each other. I'll see you there. We'll know Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We never met them here, but we'll know them. Nobody will need to point out Jesus to me. I'll know him. I haven't seen him on earth, but I'll see him and know him that day. Someone wrote that beautiful hymn, "We shall see his lovely face." A blind woman once said, "Even if I'm blind in heaven, I could grope my way to Jesus and I'll know him by the nail prints in his hands." And of course, we know too that Fanny Crosby echoed that thought when she wrote this beautiful hymn. "I shall know him. I shall know him. And as redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him. I shall know him by the prints of the nails in his hands." Fanny Crosby was blind on earth. She wrote hundreds of hymns, thousands. Beautiful hymns that we love. She can see him now. Wonderful, isn't it? Oh, we'll know the Lord. There'll be recognition in heaven. We'll know our loved ones and friends. I mentioned some of the old folk whom I met when I first came here. They're all together now. Well, yeah, they're all together. Some had separation for a few years. Some of them even up to 10 years separation. And think about this one. A key man in the founding of this church in 1938 was Warwick Lake. He made the spark that founded this church. His widow, Mrs. Mona Lake, was here in the fellowship of the church when I first came. She used to sit on the front fence waiting for her son, Warwick Jr., to come pick her up after church. Well, she waited more than 40 years before following her husband to glory. A 40-year gap in their fellowship. Think of their reunion. Oh, blessed day. Wonderful. Now, I have appreciated the ministry of Radio Bible Class. That's an American ministry. I'm not sure how it's going now. But I didn't hear it on the radio because it was broadcast in America and we didn't have what we have now in technology. However, I used their printed devotionals for years and the Lord blessed me through them. As a matter of fact, I still use them. The founder and the main Bible teacher was M.R. DeHaan, whom I quote occasionally. And God blessed me with spiritual growth through his ministry in print. The time came when he was ready to take off for heaven. He was in hospital and his son Richard DeHaan, was visiting him in hospital. His father got that faraway look in his eyes. And he said, in a voice that would have been very familiar to all the radio listeners, "Richard, sometimes my curiosity gets the better of me. I get so eager to see what's on the other side." It'd be good, wouldn't it? Well, the Lord doesn't tell us a great deal about heaven, that is, as far as its details are concerned. Perhaps it's because if we knew all those details, we just couldn't wait to get there. Well, it may be true anyway. One of M.R. DeHaan's favourite hymns was sung at his funeral. "Just a few more days to be filled with praise and to tell the old, old story. Then when twilight falls and my Saviour calls, I shall go to him in glory. I'll exchange my cross for a starry crown where the gates swing outwards never. At his feet I shall lay every burden down and with Jesus reign forever." In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Recognition in heaven. John, in his excursion to heaven, he recorded in the book of Revelation, he was pointed to the martyrs of the Great Tribulation. And before that, he saw the 144,000 of the tribes of Israel. He identified them. Well, if identity is important, there is recognition. Yes, there's recognition in heaven. Number 6, rest. Rest in heaven. There's rest in heaven because they're going to sit down. There's the journey's over. The battle is passed. The victory is won. We'll sit down because there'll be the marriage supper of the Lamb. Sit at the table. Sit down. Scripture talks about the no mores of heaven. No more. No more this. No more that. He says, God says in his word, there'll be no more sea. That's interesting because the sea is restless, isn't it? Of course, when we stand and overlook the sea, it is thrilling, isn't it? It's great to stand by the cliffs and watch the sea. It's great to ride in a 70-foot yacht in the open sea. I did a bit of deep sea fishing. I enjoyed it. Yes, the sea is magnificent, but I tell you what, it's restless. But there is no sea in heaven, no sea. In Isaiah 57:20, you see, the restlessness speaks of sin. That's the problem. Isaiah 57:20, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. That's why there's no sea in heaven. But there's no sin in heaven either. The sea symbolizes storms. Praise God, there are no storms in heaven. No flurry in the streets of glory. No traumas or tragedies in Emmanuel's land. And all is peace and all is still. Take note. No more sorrow. There's a hymn. There'll be no sorrow there in my Father's house, in my Father's house. In my Father's house there'll be no sorrow there. See, the sorrows will be over when we get home. And we know, we've all had sorrows. You have, I have. Some not so long ago. But there'll be no sorrow there. Wonderful. There's no death in heaven. There are no grave diggers in heaven. No curse in heaven. No tears in heaven. Well, if there are tears, it says God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. No sorrows in heaven. Praise God, it's all over. Rest, sweet rest in heaven. They're going to sit down in heaven, as I shared before. It's all battle and labour here. Sit down and rest up there. It's all warfare here. Heartaches, headaches, troubles. One dark valley after another. But here's another wonderful hymn. It's not an easy road we're travelling to heaven. For many other thorns on the way. It's not an easy road we're travelling to heaven. His presence gives us joy every day. No, no, it's not an easy road. No, no, it's not an easy road. But Jesus walks beside me and brightens all the journey and lightens the heavy load. I was scared I was going to burst out into song and you might walk out. But it's a great song, great hymn. Yes, hardships by the way, thorns on the path, an uphill track. It's all hard down here by comparison, isn't it? But let me tell you this. Heaven is the place of rest. And we're going to sit down. And he saith unto me, this is John, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. The angel said that to John. We're going to sit down there. Number 7. Rejects in heaven. In Matthew chapter 8 verse 11 we read, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom, the other kingdom, kingdom on earth, shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a contrast, isn't it? Alarm, alarm. Here's a note of sorrow. There are people who will not be there. Sad, I'm sad to say. As we read of the incidents that took place around the Lord Jesus on earth, remember what happened around him. We see that some of the children of Israel rejected Jesus Christ, rejected their Messiah. They'd been brought up in the right tradition. They belonged to the right family tree. But all this was to no avail when they rejected the Son of God who stood before them. When they despised the Lamb of God, God's provision for their salvation and a place in heaven. But there are many. Since the Jews rejected Christ, many who have done the same thing all around us. And people today who reject Christ are rejecting their own place in heaven. Are you going to reject that place? Are you going to be a reject? Are you still rejecting him? Are you going to come to a barred gate and a bolted door and not be able to get in? Is death for you to be the anteroom to heaven or the anteroom to hell? A leap into the dark midnight of eternal separation from God awaits those who reject Jesus Christ. It's very sad, very sad. May God help you. Help you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ tonight if you haven't already. You need him. He died for you, shed his blood for your forgiveness. He said, I am the way. I am the door. Trust him. Call upon him to save you. In God's name, to sinner, be in time. Remember what that man who died beside Jesus said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord Jesus said to him, this is music. It should be music to your ears. If you follow that prayer, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you need to be saved? Are you ready to be saved? Will you be saved tonight? Will you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour? Will you? I pray that you will. Amen.